Well, welcome everyone to Hope Church. Welcome Hope at home if you're watching and if you're new with us. I'm so glad you're here and I'm glad you're all here, and I would love to chat with anybody who's here and I haven't met after church today. You know, I only live right across the field, so I don't really have anywhere to be too quick, so I'm just going to hang out. I'm going to hang out and talk to whoever would like to, so I'd love to meet you. Thank you for being here. Before we get started with today's message, just a couple quick things. One, I'd like the men to know that we have once a month a men's breakfast, and we've been doing this for a long time. And so I'm just letting you all know again, this is another opportunity for you men to meet Friday morning at 7 a.m. Now, I realize not everybody can do that. We've got jobs to be at. But if you can make it Friday morning at Cracker Barrel right down the street, we have our monthly men's breakfast. So come and just connect with some guys and hear from the Word of God. It will be worth your time. Also, Wednesday night Bible studies. Guys, I want to invite everybody to come on Wednesday night. Some of you all are involved in small groups. I love it. Be involved in small groups. If you're not involved in anything, come Wednesday night. We have a follow-up Bible study. It's a sermon-based study, so come and connect with us here in the People of Hope Church, okay? That starts at 6:30 on Wednesday night. Okay, well, it is good to be here. Welcome back from spring break. Glad you guys are here. I hope you had a good time, a restful time. Those who got to do some fun things. We will be, heads up, we will be closing out the service today with communion. Okay, so if you're new with us here today and you've never been here, today is the day we take communion once a month, and it is the last week of the month, okay? And so you'll see tables in each corner. I'll give some instructions later, but I want to give you a heads up on that so you don't freak out about what's going to happen, okay? So I'll give instructions later. Today, we introduce a new series we are calling Abide, the Last Words of Jesus. This week, we're going to use the English Standard Version of the Bible. Now, I usually just default to the NIV version, all right? But many of your versions that you're reading are going to use the word remain, okay? But we didn't call the series remain, we called it Abide, okay? So therefore, I'm going to use the ESV today. And when we go through this passage, I just want you to know we're just starting this series, and so this is going to be a pretty general overview of this passage, but in the weeks ahead we will dig deeper into it. Okay, I want to just start with prayer this morning, so let's just pray before we start. Okay, bow your heads with me if you would. Father, we glorify your name this morning. We acknowledge your authority over all things and over all people. Lord, we ask that your word would take root in us like never before. Let it take up residence in us. Let it occupy our minds and our hearts. Let it take authority in our lives, that we may know you better, that we may delight in you, and that we may learn to live according to what your word says, not our own way, but according to your word, and that through that we could bring glory to your name, glory to the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, I just wanted to start this series by saying, you know, I know my wife pretty well. She's here today. There she is. It's good to see you. She serves tirelessly in the children's area and all throughout the church. But I'm so glad that you're here today because I'm going to talk about you. And she doesn't even know that. So, but after 20 years of marriage, isn't that awesome? We have a pretty good time, don't we? We do. We do. You know, I've gotten to know my wife pretty well. Can you guess why that is? I live with her. I live with that woman right there. She's a great one. She really is. We've learned to share a lot of things together over time, right? And we don't just share our food together, although last night we did share Hawaiian Bros together. Hawaiian Brothers, anybody like Hawaiian Brothers? They got a new Hawaiian Brothers in town. That is a problem for me. That's a problem. We have to seriously limit how much Hawaiian Brothers intake we're going to have. So, but anyways, we did share that. But we share a lot of things, like we share our space, okay? We share the bathroom, right? We share our closet space. I try to give her more closet space than me, okay? We share a bed. I mean, that's true. We also share our time together. We love to share coffee in the morning. I mean, we love, amen. That might be the only amen. I hope I get more amens than that, but I'll take it. I'll take it. I was going to tell a story, but I'm not going to do it. Let's just move through. All right. We love to share coffee in the morning, all right? Sometimes we share coffee in these little cute mugs that say Lake Tahoe. We got matching little mugs because that's where we went on our honeymoon. So we sometimes grab those and clink those. And, you know, and not just because we love coffee, but because we love to share time together. We do. Sometimes it's time spent going places. A lot of times just running the kids around everywhere. But other places that we want to go. Sometimes it's time spent cleaning the house together. Sometimes we go outside and pull weeds together. Although sometimes Amanda disappears and I'm like, where is she? And she's out pulling weeds because she loves to do that stuff. She doesn't wait for me to do that stuff. Or she might just jump on the mower. No joke. She just takes off and starts doing stuff. She's a hardworking girl, I'll tell you. We love to do stuff together. We also share, not just that, we also share intimacy, right? We share intimacy. Sometimes we look across the room at each other. Little wink, wink, wink. I told you she had no idea. I was at Starbucks the other day, and someone gave me a Starbucks with a picture of a person winking on it. I was like, what's that about? She did not like that, by the way. She did not like that. So I just make sure I wink at her only, okay? Sometimes we even, you know, hide like these small intimate touches, yeah, with each other around the house, you know, just little things. I'm stopping. I'm not gonna go too far here. Okay? And sometimes we get caught. Sometimes we get caught by my kids. I actually don't mind when they see me kissing her or something like that. That's important. Kids gotta see that stuff. All right? But that's not all we share. It's not all we share. We also share, we share God's word together. We love God's word. We literally share what God has been teaching us as we read through his word, each on our own time. We're at different places in the Bible, but a lot of times we're on the couch or the chair, having coffee, reading. And then we love to share what God is speaking to each of us. It's so much fun. And we pray together. Okay, this is our home. We are committed to honoring our vows and staying together, right? Not just under the same roof, but in a real relationship that honors God. That is what you call making a home together. It's a home that honors the Lord. There's unity, there's oneness, there's sharing, there's commitment, right? The essence of my marriage is to live life to the fullest in a committed relationship that brings glory to God in every way that we can possibly do that, okay? And so why did I share all that? Here's what I want to tell you today. God wants to invite you to make your home in Him. And He wants to make His home in you. And it's sometimes hard to describe what that means, but it's similar to what I just described. The life of a real home. That invitation is out there for all of us. Let me just hand you the invitation right now. Are you ready? I'm going to give us all the invitation. It's found in John chapter 15. Okay, we're going to read this in a minute, but as I read this invitation from Jesus himself, we're just going to, I want to observe what the emphasis is on the invitation. So we're just going to have a little fun here. If I want you to say the word abide, okay, every time I say the word abide, then I want you to say the word abide, okay? Okay, good. Well, not this time, but in just a minute. Yes, but that's good. That's good. We're going to practice. All right, so as I'm reading, when I say abide, I'm just going to pause for a second, then you're going to say abide. So let's just practice. Ready? Abide. Good. Let's go through John 15, starting chapter 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide, are you still with me? Yeah? Good. If anyone does not abide, all right, in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. All right? Now we just said the word abide. You don't have to repeat it anymore. Okay? 10 times in that short passage. So if I said, what is this passage about in one word? What would you say? Abide. That's the last time you have to say it. Right there. All right, Jesus uses this word in a description of what it means to actually have a relationship with him. The word abide comes from the Greek word meno. And here's what it means. It means to stay. It means to dwell. to remain, to make a home, to abide. So it doesn't mean to just be present for roll call, right, at the dinner table each night, or just to check in occasionally. Jesus is essentially saying to his disciples here, make your home in me as I make my home in you. That could almost have been a good vow to make, standing at the altar, right? Let's make a home together. It means a lot. So what we want to do with this passage now is to dive into what this type of relationship with Jesus looks like over the next few weeks. What does it mean to really abide? What does Jesus say? But just for today, just for the day, and as we just crack this open a little bit, the first question I want to ask is this, and maybe a simple challenge for all of us this week to take away, to go home from here and start by asking yourself this question: am I dwelling with Jesus? Am I dwelling with Jesus the way he's talking about in Scripture? Is he really a part of my life in such a way that I could say I know him well? That I could say I know what he wants? That I could say I know how to please him? I know what gives him honor? And I give him praise regularly throughout the week on multiple occasions. Right? Think about this. If you haven't given Jesus any praise outside of this room this week, I would ask myself that question. And I would pray about it. Lord, how am I dwelling with you on a daily basis? Are we serious about living together? Or have I made my home some other way? One thing that becomes clear as you read God's word and you read through this passage and you see this word abide emphasized so many times is that God wants to establish himself in our lives. Man, that's what he's been trying to do all these years. In your life, he's trying to establish himself in your life and in your home. That's so important. I think that my marriage with my wife has been well established. After walking together for 20 plus years now, it takes time to do this. And I just want to ask you, are you allowing that to happen with Jesus? Right? You have to open up your heart and let him come in your home. And that means doing some work and cleaning some things up and like completely remodeling your whole heart. Right? He wants to do that. He purchased you. He purchased you. And in a lot of ways, just like you would purchase a home, right? No one buys a home and doesn't intend to occupy that home or have somebody occupy that home. And that is his intention with your life, to bring about change inside of you. And we may just need to go from this place today with a very simple prayer during this season of Lent, as we've been praying, right, up until Easter. A simple prayer. Go home today and pray this prayer. Lord, teach me to abide. Teach me to abide. Teach us how to dwell in you daily. and begin allowing Jesus to occupy your mind and your life a little bit more than he does. It's a good start. If he is the way, if he is the truth, if he is the life, then I think I want to make my home with him. And I want him with me. So as we try to understand this text better over the next few weeks, we need to find some context for this passage, because this passage is one that often gets misrepresented and misinterpreted. You probably noted the part about the branches being thrown into the fire and withering and dying. Some of you may have just focused on that and just didn't even hear the rest, right? What happens if I fail and I don't do this, right? And because of that language in this passage, some people interpret this to be a scripture that's about hell. And some take it even further to mean that our salvation can be lost. Okay, now we can certainly get into those debates and search scripture and other parts of scripture. But we need more than that small emphasis to make that determination here, right? And to prove any of that. So we want to look at the context and why Jesus was saying these words when he was saying these words. And for that, when you get into God's word, you often have to back up a few chapters so you can get a running start at the passage and find out a little bit more. And you will find out in your own studies that in this case, the entire book of John takes a serious shift right around chapter 12. And the time frame narrows down from years of Jesus' public ministry now to just 1 week, 1 week of time with a far smaller group of people. And then in the beginning of John 13, everything narrows down again to this very intimate, private, final few hours of time. In fact, this passage is focused on just one night with Jesus, and he is now only with his closest followers, the ones who have truly remained with him. A lot of other people bailed by now, but these are the ones that remain. That's what chapters 13 through 17 consist of, the last words of Jesus to his closest followers before his death. Sounds pretty important, doesn't it? So if you've ever wondered, what would Jesus say to his closest followers? These are your chapters. These are your chapters. I encourage you to read these chapters. Go home this week and to hear all of what Jesus has to say, because we won't be able to cover all of it with enough intense study even over these next few weeks. In fact, if I can get you, yeah, a little coercion here, persuasion, yeah? If I can get you to do that this week, okay, to go home and read these chapters, which I want you to do, I'm going to challenge you, read chapters 13 through 17 of John. If I can get you to do that, I have succeeded in a greater way than if I were to just study it myself and share it with you over the next few weeks. Right? Because if I can get you to abide in these words this week, to spend time there, to camp out there, even more, to build your home there, then you have started to transform the way that you dwell with the Lord. And that's really what I want. I actually don't even want you to listen to me up here. I want you to go home and make your home with the Lord and watch him transform your life. That's all I'm here for. that's what I want. But see, that's what God wants for you. And if you desire to be a closer follower, if you desire to be one of those few who still remained to the very end, who sat with Jesus around this table, and who took the cup and the bread in remembrance of him, and who heard these intimate words, these are your chapters. He begins with a beautiful example for us to follow in chapter 13. And rather than performing the miraculous before their eyes, which he had done many times, rather than doing that, or some kind of additional spectacle to wow them all, Jesus completely blows their mind a totally different way. And I'm not going to tell you what he did. I'm not going to tell you. I don't want to tell you. I want you to find out for yourself. So I'm not going to tell you, all right? You must do the abiding this week. You do the abiding. John 13 through 17, and find out what he did that was far greater than any miracle. Okay? But here's what we just found out about context. All right? This passage is not a sermon or a parable given to a large crowd of people. It is addressed to those men and women that have walked with Jesus through thick and thin. And what that reveals to my heart is that these are the very words that Jesus gave to his closest followers so that they could be prepared for what was coming next. Because in less than 24 hours from this passage, all their lives were about to change forever. And if you want to get prepared for what is coming next in your life, I have one word for you to say one more time. What is it?
Abide.
Abide. That's how you get prepared. If you've been a close follower of Jesus and you've stuck with him, as I know many of us have, and you've been through trials and tribulations, and you're even going through that now, you're going through that today. You know what? There's a chance that tomorrow could hold more of the same. More of the same hard stuff. And I know that's not very encouraging. And perhaps not what we want to hear today. Yet it is what Jesus knew his closest, most devoted followers would have to understand. In order to endure the days ahead, in order to remain in him. And so he doesn't gather them around a table and pull a rabbit out of a hat to entertain them here on the night before he died. No, he gives them some of life's most precious, most sustaining words that you could ever dwell on or dwell in and allow into your heart, that if you want to be a true follower of Jesus, you must be willing to abide in him. No matter what comes, no matter what lies ahead, don't get separated from Jesus. You need his presence in your life. Amen? I told you we're just scratching the surface. And we're going to dive into this in the weeks to come. So I want to invite you back to listen. Come and listen. Come and listen. I want to invite the band. No, maybe I'm not inviting the band. Is that right? You guys are playing after communion. Band, do what you know to do, okay? Pay no attention to me. We're going to move into a time of communion to close the service out. And you'll notice the four tables in the corners of the room. I'm going to ask in a minute after I pray that you would just get up where you are and go to the table nearest you, bring the elements back. You can pray where you are, pray with your family, pray with your friends. have somebody in the little group lead it, okay? And we're going to do that in a minute. You don't have to be a member or a, you know, part of Hope Church in order to take communion. Communion is for all those who believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. If that's where you find yourself, I'm going to encourage you to take it. If you haven't made that decision, I'm going to encourage you to just stay right where you are and just allow God to examine your heart. And there's nothing wrong with that. I would rather see you not take communion if you haven't given your life to Jesus and humble yourself before him and find out more than to see you just take it because of pressure. Okay? Make the decision that the Spirit is moving you to make. Okay? But I don't want to pressure anybody. But just to let you know how things are working today. My attention is grabbed by the context of the passage we've been in because the emphasis is so much on a sustained, life-giving relationship with Jesus. And I start to imagine for a minute how incredible it would have been to have been there with him, to have just spent one night with Jesus. And then I realized that Jesus, here in the context, has one day to live. And when you think about what he would say, if he had one night to say it, these are the words he would say. He would say, I am the vine. You are the branches. And whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit in his life. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can do nothing apart from him, including secure our own salvation some other way. He did that. He secured our salvation when he died on the cross. And what do we need to do? We need to simply ask him into our heart. Make a home with him. Believe in him. Abide in him. Leave that old rickety house with the dark corners and move in with him. Is your heart ready? Is your heart ready for him to dwell there? Because he was ready to die for you, which means he was ready to occupy your heart. And he stands and knocks at the door right now. If you've never allowed him into your heart, if you've never asked him into your heart, you can do that today. You can open your heart to him. All you have to do is ask, Lord, come into my heart. And if you need help with that prayer, I will be right here. And you can come and pray with me during our time of communion. It was on this same night that Jesus took the cup and he took the bread and he lifted them up. Passed them around to his disciples. And he said, this bread is my body. And it was broken for you. And he said, this blood is poured out for you. And when we do this, like we're about to do, we do this in remembrance of what he did. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I just, would you just blow open the doors of people's hearts? Would you knock, Lord, and knock louder and keep knocking until we open our heart to you and let you come in? And we start letting you change who who we are, into what you see us as. I pray for that salvation to come into our lives. And for those of us who have been saved and walking with you, Lord, I pray that we would open up all the parts of our hearts for you to just invade and to change everything. And as we go and we contemplate these chapters, John chapter 13 through 17, let these become our chapters. Because we become your closest followers. People who want to abide with you. In your precious name. In your holy name. In your mighty name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed to receive communion.